Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. And each and every person in this room tonight, Father God, came here with a heart panting after you. And Father God, there's things in all of our lives that we want changed and rearranged. And I'm just giving you full and total complete reign here tonight, Father God, you and your Holy Spirit, to come in all your might and all your power and change us, rearrange us. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, who makes all of this possible. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Make sure you mark your calendars for December the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Also mark your calendar that on the 15th, no, on the 16th, at 11 o'clock, Deanna will be giving a seminar. So just make sure you have to come. You can't say, can I watch it over the watch call? No, you have to come. It's going to be her first seminar, and we have to be here to let her know that we care. And we want her to move on with God. Well, tonight, I had one lesson in the box, and then I said, God, I really need to hear a word this morning for the church. And so he just gave me another message. So here we go. All right. We'll do the other one later on. And he just said, at ease. I want my children to stand at ease in this time of harrowing darkness. I want my glory to fill their temples like the days of Acts. I want all kingdom authority to rule and reign in and around my chosen vessels of honor. Now, I put down the meaning of slippery slope. It says an idea of course of action that will lead to something unacceptable, wrong, or disastrous. And I wrote that above that, so this is what God said. There is a slippery slope of confusion that a majority of my people are walking in, all because they are not discerning the signs of the times. My word will lead my children through any form of darkness if they stay in the victory circle and trust me with all their hearts. So what we say a slippery slope was an idea or course of action that will lead to something unacceptable, wrong, or disastrous. So then let's read what he said again. I think this is very important that we get this down in our spirit today. There is a slippery slope of what? Confusion. That a majority of my people, who his people, are walking in, all because they are not discerning the signs of the times. My word will lead my children through any form of darkness if they stay in the victory circle and trust me with all their hearts. God has been telling us to get into victory circle and stay there. God said it has always been line upon line and precept upon precept, and absolutely nothing has changed. My word is my word and will sustain all who believe in the toughest battles. In other words, when you're in your bad battle, worst battle you've ever been in, or any battle, you have to believe that God is there to sustain you. And if you really listen to the words you were singing tonight, they were all encouraging you that you are in a safe place with God. God said, my word continually speaks of warfare and how to fight the battles of life that come your way. Every story has a purpose, and that purpose is to show you how to move through the maze of life. Children, I cannot allow you to just sit idle. The warfare is intense, and so many souls go down into the pit daily. I need you at your post. I need you in your prayer closets. I need you fasting. Children, yes, I do use my angelic host to assist you when the battle rages, but you must do your part in this circle of life. You must die out to your flesh just as my Son Jesus did. At all costs, you must throw off lethargy, come forth with a shout of victory, and then fight the good fight of faith. You hear that? Lethargy, you have to shake it off. God said, since when do my children just sit idly by and watch the world evolve around them? Nowhere in my word do you see the soldiers sitting at home when the battles were raging. My men were mighty men of battle and fought until the battle was won. Excuse me, what happened to David when he sat instead of being out on the battlefield, and he sat idly by in his castle. He committed adultery, didn't he? Then that led to murder, and that led to him losing his firstborn. All right. God said nothing has changed. There is a battle to be won and souls saved. You, church, are the vessels of honor I am working through. Take a stance this day and forge forward into the unknown, knowing full well that I have gone before you and prepared the way. And Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. If you're going to do any works for God at all, you're going to have to do exactly what that says. Go ahead and go, and don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, because God is working with you. God said David knew the battle could be won, and he went forth proclaiming total victory in the name of the Lord. He's talking about the battle with David and Goliath, and you find that in 1 Samuel 17, verses 26 through 34. Really, you need to go home and just read that. It's so awesome, really, what those scriptures are telling you about how David went into battle with no fear whatsoever. And he just knew that he knew that he knew that he was going to win the victory. He just knew that. And therefore, what happened? He won the victory. We go into battle wondering, is this going to work or not? Am I going to be the winner or the loser? And see, that's not the right attitude to go into a battle. God said, why are you not out there fighting? What gives you the right to sit at home and lick your wounds? Why are you not trusting me, the living God, as David did? Let's read that again. Why are you not out there fighting? What gives you the right to sit at home and lick your wounds? Why are you not trusting me, the living God, as David did? You get into a battle right away, you go into a corner, start pouting. Oh, God, I don't know why you're allowing this to happen to me, and on and on and on it goes. And God's done with that. He says, none of this no more. God said, in this new era, war has been declared, and my people are not prepared for this kind of warfare. They are weak, their foundations are not built on Christ, the solid rock, but they are built on sinking sand. The body of Christ, and God's been telling us, is not ready for the warfare that we're headed into. We're going into it. It's not going to go away. So how are you going to go into it? Are you going to go into it prepared to fight until the end? Or are you just going to go in there the minute the enemy says boo, you're going to turn tail and run and deny you even knew Christ? You need to stop thinking about this. God said, I have had the remnant church in the backside of the desert training them how to fight. But as I bring them forth, they are also looking at the giants in the land and have taken their eyes off of me, the living God. And that's the truth. With your lips you proclaim, I am able, but your actions show differently. If you would only read my word with spiritual eyes instead of carnal eyes, you would see the truth and take your stand to fight. You would say as David in 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He does what? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We don't believe that. I say that because I watched the body of Christ fail over and over and over again. We need to start just sitting down with our Father talking out what's going on in our lives and allowing Him to give us direction so that we go in the right direction and we start winning the battles. How are you going to go out there and win souls if you can't win your own battles in your bedroom or in your kitchen, wherever you do it? Think about this. If you can't win your own battles, you're sure not going to win somebody else's battles. And how many of you can be honest and say, every day anymore is a battle? The warfare is strong, and it's getting stronger, and it's not going away. All right? All right, let's just think about the food prices, the gas prices, the houses, you know, prices, all that kind of stuff. God said all this stuff was going to come down, and when it did, those who were walking close to Him, He would take care of. So if you're not walking close to God, He does not have to take care of you. And some of you are going to be crying in your beer, oh, God, how come you overlooked me? Well, you've always overlooked God, so God doesn't have to take care of you. If you think that's not the truth, get into your word and find it. It's in there. God said, children, this battle is preparing the way for my second coming. I'm coming with a shout of triumph. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When I was born again in 77, God said they were living in the days of Noah. And you know, in the days of Noah, the world was corrupt. There was only one righteous man, and that was Noah himself and his family. And they're the only ones that were saved, and the rest all drowned, right? And so if we've been living, and I know we were living in the days of Noah before 1977, God has given us a long time to get the things together. So if you don't get it together, you can't blame God, because you were supposed to be out there fighting the battles. Revelation 19:11 says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is John speaking. And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. God himself is going to do this. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the Jesus that they hung on a cross. He is coming back to rule and reign once again. And when he does that and defeats the enemy, then we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in perfect peace and harmony. Won't that be wonderful? I'm looking forward to that day, but before that, till that day gets here, we are in a battle, and we have to be fighting. God said, I shall prevail, says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no evil I cannot conquer, and no captive I can't set free. There is none mightier than me. The Antichrist has nothing to do with me. Why do you think the devil's stronger than God? You know, you really need to, because some of the things you do and the reactions you do say to me that you think that Satan is mightier than our Father in heaven. When you say, I can't get out of my sin, you're saying that the blood of Jesus wasn't enough at Calvary. Think about this. Whatever power the Antichrist has, he is allowed to have it by the overriding authority of Almighty God. In other words, Satan can't do anything unless God gives him permission. As bad as the tribulation will be, it will never be out of God's control. There is a leash on Satan, and God is holding it. Satan will be able to do only that which God allows. If you would get that, you know, this is engraved in my spirit, man, because of the Job experience and everything that God's been telling me ever since I've been born again. Satan can't, anything Satan does to you, God has given him permission. And he can do anything but kill you. Why does he do that? You are being tested at the very core of your being to prove to Satan that he cannot take you out of the hands of God. So when you're going through all your trials and all your tribulations, why are you fussing? You ought to be happy and content because you are being tested to show Satan that he can't take you out of the hands of God. Will he leave you? Eventually, I think. I haven't come to that point, so I can't say he will. and like in the Bible said, God said one time, he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. So he's going to be sifting you. But he also said in the word, he told Peter, I'll be praying for you. So whenever God releases you into the hands of Satan to sift you, God himself, Jesus himself is praying for you. And I think it says, I'll be praying for you that you do not fail. And when you have returned, minister to your brother. So Peter failed. God knew he was going to fail. But he said, when you return, and we all know how Peter wept. And then he served God with all of his heart, took whatever he had to take, and went ahead and did a great mighty work for God. So let's not be like Peter and fail, is what I'm saying. Let's just keep on going. See, if you read your word, if you're walking in the spirit, God will always give you a scripture to explain to you what Satan's trying to do to you. And he will always give you a scripture telling you how it's going to turn out. But if you don't know the voice of God and you don't stay close to God and you're still dabbling in the dark side, God's not going to be able to do that to you. Where am I at? This group of warriors? All right, this group of warriors are a peculiar people. They have a special brand on them that shows the enemy he is going to be defeated because of my glory, which sustains these chosen warriors. These are the people that God is bringing up, the remnant that God has been training and bringing forth. And the enemy's going to know he can't defeat you, but he's going to try. See, he knows he can't defeat you, but he can really harass you enough where you might just give in. So if he's harassing you, then that means he can't, that you're strong enough, you don't have to give in to his wiles. And he'll eventually will stop that. Are you listening here? The reason why he's still tormenting you is because you've gave in. You've said, God, you're not strong enough. You're not mighty. The blood of Jesus means absolutely nothing to me. So I might as well go ahead and let Satan just have me and use me any way he wants to and destroy other people as he's using me. All right. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. See this? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? He's talking about Joshua. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and we're Joshua's, okay? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you. See this? And I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. There's always the if and the and then. And likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions that are before you, for they are a wondrous sign, for behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. God is, you know, right now you are Joshua. And God has washed you clean. He's stripped you of all your iniquities. And he's dressed you in fine linen. And he, but then he's saying, if then. So it's up to you to pass the if and go into then. All right. God's not going to force you. He just really is not. All right. Then God says the angel army goes with you into every terrain of darkness. 2 Kings 6:14 through 18. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. There was a war battle going on, and Elijah was there. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." See, all the servant saw was the army arrayed around about them, ready to kill them. But Elijah had eyes to see into the spirit realm, and he saw the angel army that was there waiting to fight the battle for him. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Assyrians came down to him, Elijah prayed the Lord and said, "Strike this people." Who did he pray to? God. And this is what he said: "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Elisha, how are you pronouncing? Elijah spoke a word, and God did it. How powerful are your words when you speak to God? Does he do what you ask him to do? You need to start thinking about this kind of stuff. And then God said, "Children, you are living proof that I am with those whom I call." In Psalm 89, 5 through 8, "All heaven will praise you, your great wonders, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful." God is always with us. God said, "Your life is but a vapor in the wind. Here today, gone tomorrow. What right do you have to plan out your future? Your life is but a vapor in the wind. Here today, going tomorrow. What right do you have to plan out your future? Why do you always forge ahead of me, never consulting with me, asking me what my plans are for your life?" I can about guarantee you that half the people in this room never include God in their plans. They never ask God, "What do you want me to do?" They go ahead, they make their own plans, and they forge ahead, and then when everything falls apart, "God, where are you? And why didn't you tell me?" Because you didn't ask. All right. James 4:30. You know, you could have an idea, and it could be a good idea, but it's not a God idea. I've told you this before, because God has taught me on that. It always has to be a God idea, not a good idea. All right. God said, "Your life is a bit of vapor in the wind, here today, going tomorrow. What right do you have to plan out your future?" "Well, next year I'm going to move to Florida and I'm going to have be a big business." See, you're planning out your future. And God doesn't want you to do that. All right, James 4:13. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.'" I just have a terrible habit when I get upset. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, blah, 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 you know. All the while knowing I'm not going to do tiddly squat. Even though I'm upset, I'm going to listen to what God has to say and then do what God tells me to do. But I always have to have my little thing there I go through. Are you? And then my kids say, she doesn't mean a thing she says. I don't, because it's just me saying it, right? Because I'm mad at that point, and I just say things I shouldn't say. I need to learn to put tape on my mouth until I go and talk to the Father. Some of you do, too. All right. All right, this goes on to say, you are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and disappears into thin air. You know, you think you're all that, and then some, the Bible's telling us we could just evaporate. Isn't that what it just said? With all of our little plans. God said, come this day and let us reason together and get the facts of your life straight once and for all. See, all right, let's do that again. Come this day and let us reason together and get the facts of your life straight once and for all. And then move forward as a true warrior of the cross, bringing in the harvest in the heat of the battle that is raging ever before your face. You're going to have to get together with God. Argue with him for a while. You find out you just wasted your breath. And then go on, get it right with him. Do what he's telling you to do and then move on. I'm going to buy me a new motorcycle and I'm going to tour the United States and I'm going to win millions of souls to Christ. That's what you're going to do. But what is God telling you to do? You see what I'm saying? I'm just using that as an example. God did tell me he was going to do that, but no. Well, I don't like Delaware, so I'm going to move to New Jersey. That's what you're going to do. What is God telling you to do? He's telling you to sit still and shut up. Right? Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That covers the scripture, what he just said. Come, let us reason together means that God invites his people to debate with him and settle their differences. See, you're allowed to do that. So don't say you can't talk to God and you have to just be a puppet. No, that's not true. You go before God and you can debate. I do it. Grace does it, don't you, Grace? Sure you do. Alan does it. Barbara does it, does it, and does it. Trying to get God to tell her what she wants to hear, but he doesn't do that. All right, God promises to forgive their sins and make them pure if they are willing and obedient, that we just read in Isaiah 1. But he also warns them of the consequences of refusing and rebelling. The battle is raging. God said, where are my true warriors that have forsaken all for the harvest? You have not died out to your flesh yet. You're still wanting to be with your family members. Wanting them to approve, wanting them to speak into your life. The other message was a good message too. I will give it. All right, yeah, it was don't miss your day of visitation. You know, and whenever God started, he said, at ease. I know in military, when they have you lined up, they'll say, at ease. Then they give you instructions, right? And this is what God is saying to us, you know, come before me. Let you and I talk about your life and where I'm taking you to and what I want you to do. Each one of you need to be here. I'm sorry, but there's some of you in here, you don't really hear the voice of God accurately. I'm just going to be honest about it. And you allow others to speak into your life things that really are not of God. And then it gets you in a twit. If you're going to be a prophet, you need to be totally sold out to God 100%. And you no longer exist. But you're just the vessel that God works through. you know, if you're going to, I don't know why I'm getting on this binge, but we'll go there. If you're going to prophesy with us, say the Lord, just always remember one day you're going to stand before God and be accountable for those words you just spoke. And if you're just prophesying over somebody what you want them to be or what you think they ought to be doing, that's a false prophet, and God isn't happy with that. Many people want me to give them a prophetic word, and if I don't hear, they don't get one. Even when we're in here, and you know, and we start the prophetic, I hear you. You're just pulling on God like crazy. You want a word so bad. But God has nothing to say to you, so he doesn't talk to you. Then you get upset with me. Well, she talked to everybody except me. Well, no, it wasn't me talking to begin with. It was God. And then there's also, I got to tell you this too, there's also some of you, you just need to really sit and be cool. Chill out. Because some of you want to hear from God, and I hear what he's going to tell you. And I say, God, I'm not going to say that. You really don't want to hear what he was just going to tell you. And I mean it. You don't. I said, tonight I can't do that, Father. You just have to do it some other time. He does get around to it, but, you know, I've had about enough of you guys. I about said kids, you guys being chastised, and I just think you need to just chill out a little bit and listen to what God's telling you. You know, he does change his mind, you know. I'll teach you that sometime if you haven't read it yourself. God only wants the very best for us. But we don't. We just take whatever comes down the pike. You know? Remember God told me, he said, you think too small. Well, I started thinking large. And I found out I was thinking way too small. I'm a king's kid, am I not? Are you not? Then king's kids are spoiled, right? They get everything, don't they? Then why was I settling for the crumbs? That's what I was doing. I quit that. You need to quit that too. These little crows that come and pick up your crumbs might pick your head. How many of you are just willing just to sit and say, Father, I am so sorry that I was so busy planning out my own life that I never sat down and asked you, what do you want me to do? I know for a fact that every one of you sitting in here, I'm looking around who's here, God has spoken into your life and told you exactly what he wants you to do. Either you don't want to do what he wants you to do, or you're just not willing yet to die out to your flesh to get it done. You don't have much longer to do this thing. Us older guys, we've been around a long time. And God said, "It's what he's using right now is you girls, Aaron, you guys that age. And us older people are here to train you in the ways that you should go. We aren't supposed to be jealous because you came on the scene, because we've been on the scene a long time. Now, what we have gleaned from God, we're now supposed to help you grow up in God. You don't find that in the body of Christ. So everybody gets jealous. Oh, they're taking my place." Nobody's taking your place. You're giving your place away. Why don't we just be everything that God wants us to be as a body of Christ? And let's just go ahead and walk forward, helping one another. God said we were a hospital, but I don't see that. I see backbiting, I see jealousy, you know, I see all kind of contentions. That is not a hospital. Well, it could be in general. But it's not what God wants us to be. Do you understand that, guys? He wants us to be full of love and compassion, help one another, you know? And, you know, I have a few people in my life I just like to dig a hole and chuck them in it. But every time I feel like that, you know, God says, if you see a brother or sister in need. So I have to cover up the hole that I already dug. Don't you get that way sometimes? But we're not supposed to be that way, though. So, you know, I'm guilty too. So let's just all get rid of all that junk. And let's not dig any holes. And let us do like Jesus did, like Paul did, like Peter did, you know, like Thomas did. Let's just go ahead and carry our cross. Whatever comes, comes, because Jesus allows it. right? And let's just save the souls that don't know what we know. The harvest is ready, but are you? Are you ready to bring the harvest in? The altar is open tonight because what God wants to do is he wants to rearrange some of your thought patterns. Some of your thought patterns are not where God wants them to be. And tonight he's dropping a special anointing to rearrange your thought patterns to be like his. So the altar's open.